This is Naomi and Johnny, and Johnny's gonna make some eggs.
Hi, this is Lyndon.
And this is Lettuce.
And we don't have a plan for what we're gonna make, so we're just gonna see what's in the fridge and the cupboards and try and come up with a brunch.
Hi everyone, Charlotte Grace here. I'm gonna be making a beautiful brunch on my boat in Victoria Park, all for myself on my wands. It's gonna be a kind of, it's like 5 minute shakshuka, I reckon. It's also known as Armenian eggs.
How many sausages?
Okay, what? Turned off my computer. Okay. I'm just looking.
First you mix the non-nettle stuff. Garlic, cheese, salt, pepper, lemon and chilli if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Remove your nettles from the cold water. And squeeze out as much water as you can.
I tried to make them with like as much kimchi in as possible, because I always buy a huge bag and then you got to eat it kind of quickly. But now, yeah, I just slice the kimchi into like chunks. I keep it quite big. Put that in like a bowl.
Cherry tomatoes. Eggs, stuff for toast and yogurt at the end, and kind of loads of herbs, like many different kinds. I'll maybe get to that when we start. And garlic, like good garlic.
Okay, we're making herby scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
I've just cracked 2 eggs in a measuring jug and I'm whisking them up with the fork.
And like the same, I put like the same amount of, it's nice with spring onion, but I don't have any, so I just use normal onion. But with spring onion, like equal kimchi to spring onion, I think is good.
So I'm chopping the garlic, and I just chop it in half. I mean, if it's not that good garlic, then like, or it's a bit strong, you could like kind of chop it smaller to get more taste out of it. But I mean, half is good. Top tip, take the root out the centre. It's a bit of an Italian myth that that's what gives you bad breath.
But I do a bit less raw onion because it's strong.
So I'm going to have raisin and almond granola. It's from Asda. If you want to make your own granola, it's really simple. You,
you're going to chop up the herbs. I'm going to get a frying pan.
I'm going to use parsley.
Mm-hmm.
Some chives.
Yeah.
And some mint.
Cool. I'm going to use this frying pan.
Okay.
Also put in fresh coriander, like loads, but normally just I put the stalks in and I slice them really small.
And a dried chilli, the bird's eye ones that are kind of only used really in Italian stuff, like they're kind of small dried ones. All kind of chilli flakes probably you can get away with. And that's, I think it, you know, some oil, yeah.
That's pretty good. I don't like to do it too much. I like to have a few little bits in there. A bit of texture.
A few little bits?
Not, yeah, I like to keep the shell in, personally.
So, bring nettles to boil. Is that the first instruction?
I'm not with my usual cooking things right now, but during this quarantine time, I've done the thing of having jars of different seeds and nuts for the first time, and it does feel really good in the morning to get to eat them.
Can you describe what's good about it?
You kind of feel like you're making a potion.
So much going on.
I like to put in like some garlic, maybe just like one clove.
Thick bottomed kind of frying pan. And I'm adding a good glug of olive oil.
I make it like really tiny. I normally have like a micro planer that I use for everything, but I don't have it with me. So I just grate it.
And these, I've got, because this is really buff garlic, I've got two cloves of just chopped in half, but I reckon you could do three or four. So I'm adding the garlic to it, and then where's my dried chili?
So I've got like the little seed mix that you get near the counter, and then almonds, and then chia seeds.
So I've added the chili and the half garlic, and I'm also adding some fennel seeds, which is, as people who know, it's like kind of, it's my base. It's a load of fennel seeds in it. And as the pan heats, whatever, the garlic will just kind of slowly infuse with the oil. People say then to take the garlic cloves out, but I just love fried garlic, so I can handle it. I'll just eat it later.
I broke a sweat.
Yeah, the description.
Our cat's here.
Delphin.
What Delphin?
Hey Delphin.
Maybe I'll bring the recording over for the cooking sounds.
A tour. If you were to join us on our Sunday brunch, you would observe the following noises. There's a sizzling noise. Not sure if it picks up of the blueberry queso buns. They're bubbling. It's really incredible to me how juicy blueberries are when they bake.
Yeah.
And then when the oil's really hot, you can see the garlic sizzling a bit.
You can chuck anything in that you want, really.
I hope people can hear me. Hear that sizzling. This is a high. This is my wok hob. It's like two rings in one, so it's a bit intense. Anyway, the oil's ready, and then you just place the cherry tomatoes face down. So like, well, not face down, like innards down.
And I'm looking at this one, which is from Asda, and it's all like natural ingredients apart from it. I think it has a really high sugar content because sugar is the second ingredient and raisins is the third ingredient, and raisins is 13%.
Then I also put in like a good amount of ginger, which I also grate.
And then sometimes I add a bit of milk because I feel like the yogurt won't soften the granola enough.
I can't get down with that. The idea of mixing yogurt and milk freaks me out.
So the dome is on the top and tomato, you know, the kind of inside of the tomato, the bit that you cut, is facing down, and it's quite important actually to have them all facing down. It's a bit fiddly because it's on such a high heat, as you can hear. You want the tomatoes to really start sizzling. I at this time just add a dash of sugar and maybe a bit of salt.
As bread, I don't put beetroot in it. I just use beetroot juice instead of water to make the dough. Yeah, it's very dense.
And like a little bit more kimchi. Nice doing the chopping. I'm using my, like, I have a fancy chef knife that I bought myself recently, like the first time. Got a proper knife, it felt like a big moment. Went with my head chef to buy it. Maybe I'll take a picture of this.
Putting the granola in, and I'm not going to add any honey because of the high sugar content.
I am going to chuck this cake away, what do you say?
The place I'm staying has a weird, annoying electric oven, so I have to wait for a long time for it to heat up.
I've got some grapes here and some Asda blueberries as well. I don't know if we have we got any seeds?
Yeah.
And nuts. They really don't look great.
The half of the tomatoes are starting to shrivel. And you can kind of push them, I don't know if you're waiting. Meanwhile, I don't know, I'm putting my toast on.
I'm chopping up, I'm just slicing some bread to put it in the toaster to make some toast.
My toast's on the go. Okay, so the eggs are now cracked and all around it, and then this is the bit that I really like about it. Basically, you just get any herb, like as many herbs as you can find, like loads of them. So my dream combo is dried mint, dried thyme, fresh fennel, fresh parsley. Oh my god. And then what we've got, I get my yogurt out, I'm getting my, what might be nice, sometimes I put some black onion seeds on, or like just dabble it on the yogurt, because obviously it just looks so profesh.
Okay, now we're going to make coffee. So now we're making some coffee. We're doing cafetiere coffee because, well, do we all want to do a different... We've got a percolator or a machine.
I think this is good.
Yeah? Okay, we're going to do a cafetiere coffee. Have you seen a change in your coffee drinking habits in lockdown? That is.
Oh yeah, no, a new thing that I've learnt from my sister's partner is that you can, if you put milk in a cafetiere, hot milk in a cafetiere, you can use the plunger to froth it up and it gets like really close to a cappuccino.
Then what's quite good with eggs sometimes is put a dash of water in the bottom of a pan and then a lid on so that they steam a little and fry a little. If you're doing a shakshuka thing, it's quite a good tip.
Finally at the cafetiere, water's boiled. Cutting in two big heat tablespoons of
then I'm good to go.
Yeah, it'll be ready in like 2 minutes.
Well, these eggs happen fast. Maybe the pan was too hot. They're pretty much done.
Oh boy.
Okay, so now it's time to froth the milk. So I'm pouring the warm milk into the tiny cafetiere. I've lost the plunger. It's here.
I put it all on the table and it looked a bit sad, just because the kimchi pancake, I mean scram, you know, hash, that's it, hash, it looks a bit shit.
That's 50 minutes baking time for my cake, which is nearly ready for brunch, although it will be very hot. And I've made a hibiscus cake, which I tried to bake yesterday, and it went so bad that I had to put the whole thing in the bin and do another one. And now it's 15 minutes over the supposed baking time, so we'll see whether it's delicious or not.
So I made like another yogurt thing. With some roasted apples and roasted rhubarb that I have, because I think that makes it more brunch if you have two things.
So for those of you at home, lettuce is just like plunging the plunger up and down vigorously.
Blueberry miso buns are Ruby Tando's recipe for The Guardian. This is like my third or fourth time making them, so that's an endorsement. They're really good, yeah.
Okay, so I've served it up, looking cute on the plate. Got some posh olive oil just for drizzling.
American pancakes with ricotta, strawberries, bacon, honey. That's it, loads of butter.
And I put like an apple juice and the tea, because that makes it more like I'm brunching, you know?
So take a pick. Gotta take a pick. Another one, maybe from the top with the like dappled, you know, my coffee there, my sun cream. Just kind of like toss the forks to the side.
It's so good though. I love kimchi so much.
That's delicious. Wow, the ricotta is a good shout.
I'll bring the cups. Okay, we're going to go outside and have our coffees outside. Come on, Delphine. And it's warm, it's kind of hazy.
Yeah, it is hazy.
That's me pouring on coffee.
Right, I'm gonna relax now.
Delicious coffee.
Ahoy, it's lovely. Left you your own bean. My own bean situation.
Yeah.
Okay, that's perfect. Want some juice?
I'm all right, actually, I think.
Okay. Okay, I'm gonna eat because they're gonna get cold. I've already got all that.
Oh bloody hell.
Bon appetit. Whoa, that's outrageous.
I'm sat outside on my stern. There are coots wanting my breakfast. I'm not gonna let them. I'm hardened to canal life.
But it's very warm.
Yeah, the clouds are like cooking there rather than shielding the sun.
The sausages are wild, they're really like kind of
they're really meaty.
Seasoned.
Yeah.
Very flavourful.
Vegetarian sausages have got to try really hard, haven't they? They've got to really work because they know that
one, it's like a female fronted superhero movie. One mistake, we're out of there.
Oh god, yeah.
Mmm, that's good.
Mmm.
Mm.
And the avocado doesn't taste like a bin.
That's good. We've
got these cute little teacups.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
Oh wow, it's so good. Good. It's a shame this is radio because it looks amazing.
Going to see my friend Charlotte. Nice. She's on a boat.
Oh, cool.
Down. Right by Victoria Park.
Yeah, I mean, oh yeah, there's some questions I've got to answer. Wait.
What's your favourite brunch memory? Have you ever had bottomless brunch?
We did discuss that.
And what has FOMO meant to you in lockdown?
Sorry, I've just seen the questions that you sent through, Sam. Whoa, this is delicious food, by the way. I'm getting very full.
What's your favourite brunch memory?
I was out in the rain. Then I got a text from Lindsay and was like, we're making pancakes, gluten-free pancakes, do you want to come over? And I was like, oh, I'm not going to get there for a while. And they were like, it's fine. I got there and just in time, I borrowed some warm clothes because I was really cold and wet from being outside. And then it was like winter, it was like December, and we had candles and had these really delicious pancakes with blueberries and yogurt, and
we had a cake made of ice cream. And yeah, that's probably the best ever.
You had to get there and wait for usually like 2 to 3 hours, and that was like if you arrived at 10 a.m.
I don't know, I often find brunch quite stressful because you're hungover.
Yeah.
And you're in public.
Yeah. And you're like, you've had to drag yourself out and then try and eat something. And then it's like, it's quite a lot of food and I don't normally eat a huge meal in the morning.
And you might bath and you're sweating.
I've done a long walk, which normally culminates in a brunch cooked on a stove. Mm. We might have had pastries a few years.
To be honest, probably making this on my birthday for like a load of people in my old house in Peckham. That's the first one I think about. And it was all of this plus just some champers. And we were absolutely sozzled by like 12 p.m.
It also feels very decadent to have brunch at home. I think because brunch out is kind of, has become such a like specific institution with specific rituals.
I kind of loathe.
The bottomless mimosas.
Yeah. I don't think I'm like a big fan of like the brunch out usually.
It was quite good because normally you're kind of drunk at 12 p.m. because you've been partying all night before, but actually we were kind of like fresh and drunk and it was, you know.
Well, so I used to go, another brunch memory is I used to go a lot to Jungle Cafe. Usually I go with my friend Josh. I would usually get hash browns, maybe, sometimes I just get hash browns, sometimes hash browns, veggie sausage, beans, or mushrooms, beans, hash browns.
The brunches have not stuck in my memory, apparently.
No, neither.
I had a nice one in Berlin once on this kind of semi-floating houseboaty restaurant thing near the Bader Schiff.
But I feel like the time I went out that I remember is on my 22nd birthday, me and like one of my best friends at university, Benny, we like walked to this diner that was like a little further. It was quite a bit further than the go-to. It was called Raleigh's. I've talked about it a lot because its defining feature was that it had a mural that would be made out of like plush things.
Usually I just custom combine. I also go a lot to the Wetherspoons. Used to, I haven't been for a long time. I don't have a local Wetherspoons anymore, but used to go quite a lot to the Wetherspoons breakfast, especially in don't know which one actually.
like a couple thrift stores along the way. I think Benny bought like an electric keyboard. And we found like a huge portrait of Lyndon B. Johnson.
When I was a teenager and I first like started going to parties and stuff, me and my friends would all go for brunch at a specific cafe, like after the on the morning after the party, to like talk about everything that happened. And I used to get like a veggie breakfast. But actually, I don't know, to me it's quite a strange thing, like to eat like a so much hot, like I don't know, quite rich foods in the morning, like fried, like for like a full English. But you like that?
Oh, it's delicious.
And oh, sometimes I used to go quite a bit for the McDonald's. These are breakfasts, not brunch. I don't really know the difference, but breakfast used to get sometimes get pancakes at McDonald's, or also hash browns I usually get at McDonald's. Sometimes I get a hash brown chocolate milkshake, but they sell them later now, but it used to be you had to get it really early, so it wasn't like, it definitely wasn't brunch.
We just found this, I can't even, it wasn't anything that special, it was kind of bar, but they were also a cafe in the daytimes, and we got an English breakfast each, with like black pudding and mustard and stuff, but we, the table was an odd height, and it was quite a tall table, and I was trying to sit, but the seats that we were on felt too low, so we ended up both standing up and eating our breakfast, which just felt great. I don't know why. I think we should do it more.
Quiet sounds of eating while we wait for Pernilla to return.
Feel a bit embarrassed by the term brunch.
Yeah.
It's a little bit. Well, it's like it's like bougie. City. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't have cornflakes for brunch.
For brunch. It's like hot food.
Yeah, but then you could have like brunch of like.
Is it more
granola or something?
I don't know.
I left Berlin in September, but it's the last place that I had my own place, so I think I still think of it as my home, and so. The thing that I've been thinking about is going for brunch on a Sunday. Almost every week I would meet my friend Dan and we would go to Azam, which is across the street from my flat on Zonnallee.
I've got another question though.
Right.
Which is, if you have brunch, do you have breakfast?
We would get a full and or a fatta and maybe some kind of za'atar bread and the free tea with sugar in it.
The idea of sitting down to brunch like and then not getting up for the rest of the day, like just sitting with at a table with like loads of really nice food and just grazing,
that's true,
and talking and stuff.
Nice if you had a paper to read it.
Yeah, unfortunately I don't really want to read the paper though.
No.
Like a paper from another world.
You could get a falafel teller or even falafel halloumi teller. And they started putting seats outside, even though there was scaffolding over the front of the building. And sometimes you could get these little tables that were like actually kind of like on the road, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be like a kind of. It's a socialising thing, isn't it? Brunching.
Yeah.
It's not breakfast, it's not functional. Yeah. It's like a luxury.
Yeah. It's something to do with people. Like, if you were having a meal on your own at this sort of time, would it be a brunch?
I think maybe if you told someone about it later.
We would normally sit there for a long time and then we would go for a walk and maybe get a coffee. And so it would involve hanging out for, you know, actually many hours. And I was thinking it's that kind of socialising that is quite hard to replicate in lockdown, even if you're talking to your friends a lot. I was just thinking about the kind of conversations that you have with someone if you're hanging out for like hours and hours in that quite kind of particular kind of way.
You know who hated brunch? Anthony Bourdain.
Really?
And the thing I was thinking about was that I feel like I've been having a difficulty writing. And I think one of the things is that actually, if you're not, that you maybe work out your ideas in conversations with people, even if it's like you might be chatting for hours and only a tiny bit of time you would actually be talking about something like that. And it's not like you meet and talk about your work in some really kind of specific way. It's just like a place that you can kind of work through some ideas, but in a way that maybe you can't do if you were tried to like explicitly like call someone up and be like, hi, can I talk to you about X?
He said that like if you go out for brunch, like to but this is like in New York and like, I don't know, maybe like yuppie place, brunch right. places, it's always just like the leftovers of what they haven't been able to use up over the week, and they turn it into a brunch.
That sounds great.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, he hated it.
Yeah.
He hated, like, cooking it as well. Probably because he'd gone out on the Saturday night and then had to come into work early on Sunday to cook the brunch.
What has FOMO meant to me in lockdown? I'm just going to eat now. I'm talking with my mouth full because you got to eat this straight away, otherwise, you know.
What has FOMO meant to you in lockdown?
Is that, that's fear of missing out, right?
Mm-hmm.
What has FOMO meant to you in lockdown? So, not being included in group chats. That's what's meant to you.
In terms of FOMO, I really feel this is the period in my life when I've had the least amount of FOMO.
I mean, I've had coronavirus for 6 weeks now. So, I've mostly been relieved at the lack of FOMO.
I'm usually plagued by it. That's why I'm constantly doing things, or was constantly doing things.
I guess FOMO is going to like change meaning a little bit because we've had this like abruption from what FOMO meant. So maybe like FOMO before is less relevant, but may just come back in exactly the same way. But also maybe it's nice to think about the way that it's, FOMO might mean a different thing in terms of what we were missing out of before we knew what COVID was like. And
but now I'm like, well, there's nothing out there. So I feel like a great sense of relief.
Weirdly, on a boat in Victoria Park, it's the busiest place in London. So I'm seeing loads of people like pseudo doing their daily walk and exercise, but I'm all alone in my little metal box and everyone's like, you know, romantic strolling on the towpath.
I just miss my friends.
Yeah, like the FOMO of locality. We were talking about localities today in my first like long distance social hangout with someone who wasn't in my like inner chain. Big reveals.
Yeah, had this been a normal time and I'd been sick for 6 weeks, I think it would have been impossible.
FOMO, for me, during lockdown has meant that I actually haven't had any of it.
You've not had any? Yeah.
And that's because there's nothing happening.
Mm-hmm. I don't really get...
You don't get FOMO.
FOMO. But I do... As well, I do and I don't. The only thing I really get it about is if I miss jiu-jitsu. And I have that in the past, where if I'm not going, then I have a kind of FOMO feeling because I know that the people I train with are getting better and better, and I'm not. But that's been the only, mainly the thing I've missed not being able to do whilst in lockdown.
Yeah, I really feel FOMO requires this sense of, like, this greater, kind of, like, this greater societal experience, collective experience. That you have been excluded from, but yeah. Now our collective experiences of like being indoors, of missing each other, of like longing for human company,
yeah,
these bigger convivial things, and so it kind of feels like none of us have FOMO. We're having the same collective experience of loss.
That I put way too much importance on like going out.
Johnny's just randomly got up and started sweeping the floor.
Because I got loads of muck on my feet.
This is
from the flat.
We need to hoover the flat.
I need to give it a mop.
And then also all the boaters are getting pissed with people walking and having all these not that passive aggressive signs hanging from the trees, kind of being annoyed at everyone. So I'm kind of witnessing a lot of social interaction, maybe more than most people, right outside my window, while I'm like either cowering inside or kind of sat on the deck, like trying not to be judgmental.
I kind of have a FOMO for like other countries that have dealt with this better.
But I've set up my roof so that I can kind of leave phone downstairs and just not check the news. I think they're kind of spatial removal from devices, and just and the mission that it is to climb down to the boat and go check my phone, like, has helped sever that. So this week I'm doing a bit better.
It's like everyone has FOMO of not, but of no, nothing. Like, there's nothing to, like, wish you were at. But everyone has it about nothing specifically.
Well, because you can't have it about anyone because no one's doing anything.
Yeah. Although I feel like FOMO when I see people who have like gardens.
Yeah.
And
true.
Also like people like I don't know.
People living by the sea.
People living by the sea. Yeah, but is FOMO?
I've absolutely ravaged podcasts. My God.
I'm not really video calling. Are you video calling? Like, no, I'm not. Look, let's just catch up at some point because I can't do this. I can't do this, like, semi-socialising thing really that much. Mm. Like, the capacity for it is way down.
But it's quite nice. I've had a lot of visitors, you know, like, kind of on the towpath, sat on the wall by me, which is pretty nice. I couldn't read. Couldn't even turn a page. I've got a bit better now. I found that a bit hard.
It's like if you could invite any figure, living or dead, to go on a socially distanced walk with, who would it be?
Have you ever had a bottomless brunch? I'm not going to make a joke about tops and bottoms, I'm just going to say no.
Have I ever had a bottomless brunch? I have not.
So yeah, I've never had a bottomless brunch before.
I think a bottomless brunch just means it never ends.
Isn't a bottomless brunch, it's a thing where you like drink, you get like mimosas.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this.
It's not like an all-you-can-eat brunch buffet.
But that's what like a bottomless coffee is.
Other thing is that I'm quite full.
Yeah, I'm also really full. Should we just take one and like pick at it?
Have I ever had a bottomless brunch? Yeah, I have had a bottomless brunch for my friend Rowena's surprise 33rd birthday. It was pumping with breakfast and not alcohol. We didn't get the unlimited booze, we got the unlimited food, and at the time, which was like quite soon after Christmas, it was literally perfect. And I didn't drink and some people drank, but really we just ate like so much food and the food just kept on coming and coming and coming, and I was like, yeah, no booze, bottomless foods.
I wonder how long brunch has been like, how long has it been hipster for, like, it's such a big thing? Because I started working in chefing maybe probably like 5 years ago. And my first job ever actually was making brunch.
I've never been to an official brunch before. I accidentally went in New York. And it was horrifying. But we didn't have a bottomless option. We had... What did we hit? I had a Bloody Mary.
Looking at the... Yeah, a morning or early afternoon event at which, for a set price, you get a certain number of courses and unlimited alcohol.
It was really good, but yeah, there's a lot of loud people chatting.
I was working in like a Ghanaian restaurant, and it was like a brunch pop-up in Clapham with this like bottomless brunch thing when it was kind of new. So then all these Clapham people would come to do the bottomless brunch, but they never... ever wanted to eat the food, and then they always complained about the food because it was too spicy, and it wasn't a very successful pairing. I think now people would like it, but no one really got the food and it was just a bit depressing.
I've been to one, but I was too hungover to take part in it.
Where was it?
In Balham, I think. Oh yeah, of course.
And there were all these rules about the bottomless brunch, like you only get a 2-hour spot and the timer starts as soon as you drink the first one. And the, I don't know, sometimes I would hear the people who worked in the bar, like it would be explained to them, like the rules of the bottomless brunch to try and make sure people don't get given too much alcohol. And it sort of seemed a bit depressing to me.
I just think of the word mimosa.
Mimosa?
Yeah, for sure. And what are those little pancakes?
But that was like the Berlin version. So that was just like, it was genuinely a bottomless thing. And like, you just sat there as long as you wanted. And everyone just drank a lot of Prosecco. That seemed like a lot nicer. But it was still annoying. And, you know, a brunch spot is generally full of quite annoying people. And, yeah.
You pay £25 to have as many Bucks Fizz as you wanted. Or 25 to have as many Bloody Marys as you wanted. And then you ordered food items separately. And it was just like meal. But then I've heard of other ones where you just keep asking for more, like Eggs Benedict or something.
Package holidays, isn't it? Like there's just the omelette man in the hotel, the omelette man that like you pick your, he's always nice to the kids, and you pick your little ingredients and you go to the omelette man and he like just makes you an omelette in the hotel because it's like, you know, part of the hotel deal. And then you go to the big tea club in Marbella or whatever and go, I don't know, like get close to vomiting because you jump in the pool straight after breakfast. But technically, yeah, that was bottomless. That was definitely bottomless because it's part of the package, isn't it? And every kid thinks the omelette man likes them more, but he's just doing his job, I guess.
But then, yeah, then a few years later, I worked in like a brunch restaurant. Well, it's like a cafe, but like brunch is the big thing. I've said the word brunch so many times. Yeah, I guess I like to go for brunch though, but I guess I always just felt a bit jealous because it was Sunday and I wanted to be hanging out with my friends, but I was really busy at work. So I always felt a bit scornful of the people I was making brunch for.
Okay, well that was a lovely brunch. Thank you for that.
That was in exactly an hour as well.
Was it?
That was good work. Wow. Right, I think I'm going to paint my nails and then...
Okay, shall we stop? We've finished our brunch now.
Yeah. I really hope we make the cut.
Yeah, this is all gold.
If we don't get on, I'm going to be so angry at Sam.
Should we watch a little bit of TikTok first?
I think I've got to go.
Oh.
Should we just watch that dance again?
Yeah.
I enjoyed the brunch.
I enjoyed it as well.
But I was more focused on performing my best brunch.
I couldn't taste it because of the recording.
Yeah. The name is...
Lots of love. I miss you all. Oh, God, yeah. Come, let me make you Charlotte Greggs in the future, the moment this all ends.
An absolute wreck.
The thing, actually, that's true. Like, sometimes if I go up for dinner with people, I cannot taste the food because I'm just concentrating on, like,
trying to make conversation.
And, like, the social performance. I just can't taste
it's like,
it.
Delicious.
I could be eating chalk.
So, yeah, three answers. All right. Happy brunch.
On that note, we're past the 1.5 hour mark. Perhaps we should, like, allow Sam some time to himself. But thank you so much for inviting us to this virtual brunch. It's actually been quite fun.
It is fun. Yeah. It was delightful to dine and experience your absence, your future presence as you listen to this.
I look forward to hearing the like what comes of this.
Yeah, I want to know what other people's brunches are like.
Yeah. And what their past brunch experiences have been like.
And what they're eating, crucial.
Yeah. Anyway. Have a good Sunday or whatever day you're listening to the sun.
Goodbye.
Bye.